In the studio with us now, Eric Wright is here. He is the director of the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes at Geisinger. Welcome aboard, sir.
Yeah, hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming in, and I think we're going to talk about a lot, one of which is what is the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes and all the good research and programs and outreach and efforts that are underway. And you brought with you one of your key colleagues, Lorraine Tusing, is here. She's a research project manager with the Geisinger Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes. So I appreciate you coming in. Good morning, Lorraine. Thank you.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
We want to talk about what is the medication take-back program at Geisinger, and its goal is not just to take back opioids when they get into the environment, or other medicines for that matter. It has a wide range of endeavors and deliverables that seem to be happening. So let's maybe start with that. What is the medication take-back coalition?
Well, Mark, thanks for, again, having us in this morning. And you've been an active contributor to the Take Back Coalition for, gosh, many years now, right?
Right. Well, just trying to spread the word.
Yeah, trying to spread the word. And the Take Back Coalition is actually a group of community individuals interested in making sure that our environment and our public safety is there for proper stewardship of medications. Particularly, we started the coalition, oh gosh, it had to be about, what, 5 to 6 years ago, around following some notification that there were on a river. And then we looked at and found out that there was a huge gap, that patients had a lot of unused medications in their home, and maybe the best way to get rid of those drinking water places. We also know that those unused helped to contribute to the opioid epidemic, because like, if a pain medication from a prescription is a diversion, concerned individuals in the for safe medication disposal.
All right, and Lorraine, he rattled off a series of some research to sort of how you do. Explain what you do for the coalition and for the center.
So I help with the implementing. We have throughout the region in community sites that are accessible to anyone, and pharmacies, as independent pharmacies throughout the area. Those pharmacy is open, so it's not just like a single clean out their medicine cabinets and or wherever it is they can on a regular basis and get those medications. We've collected over 21,000 pounds alone. We've collected so far this year.
First, that may be interested in doing that. But even before then, you try to make at pharmacies, and it sounds okay, well, this is a drug that I've received. There is a property of that drug.
Not keeping medication in their home when they're no longer needed, or their time is up when they should be them, so they don't get into intentional overdoses, you know, get their hands on them.
And we are looking at some of the healthcare system. We also have a health in the hands of patients once they get to pharmacies. And we reached out to those people, and we found that a lot of those people still hold on to medications well after they actually stop taking those medications. And few of them actually dispose of those medications appropriately. I was just at my parents' house last night, and I said to them, I said,
careful, Dad, you're calling out your folks.
I know, I'm calling out my folks here, so if they're listening, you know, Mom and Dad, you know, this is going to go right to you. So I went to their cabinet. I said, tell me what you're taking now, Dad, right? And I brought out his little medicines in his kind of carrying area, and I started looking at him. I'm like, okay, you're taking this one at this time, this one at this time. And then all of a sudden, I'm digging back further into that medicines, and I'm finding a bunch of different older prescriptions that were sitting there. I found one back to 2007. When we've done some of our inventories, we've seen them back to the 80s, the 1980s, Mark.
And drugs don't just stay inert that whole time. They morph into things that may be effective, may not be effective, may be good for you, maybe not.
Exactly. I mean, you have no idea what that's going to do. And what I think, and what we found in some of our research, is people hold on to this because they think they could use it again. They might need it again. And they never know whether or not they need to go back on those medications.
They don't want to pay for it again.
They don't want to pay for it again. And it's true. Medications can be expensive. But the best thing to do, stopping a medication, if your doctor changes your your medication. If you've stopped a prescription, maybe you had some pain and you no longer need it, is to get rid of that medication appropriately and get a new prescription when you need it. So I confiscated all of their medications, put it all together in a bag. I said, that's going to our take back location. You know, that's what we need to do occasionally. And unfortunately, those medications just stick in those medicine cabinets until we do that.
Well, and we've done a lot of outreach. We've done a lot of education. We've done a lot of radio programs. We know the local newspapers have covered this. The TV stations, BRE and NEP, have done stories about this. But for your father, he may have been hearing about this for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? We all, you know, may do it once and then not think of it for a while. And a while might be years. And over that period of time, you go and you see your doctor for a upper respiratory infection and you have leftover antibiotics or a pain. You go in, you get a tooth extracted, and you get a pain medication, and it sits there. And those are the things that we want people to do, is to regularly look it out. And the twice a year is nice because it's a reminder. There's another one coming up in October. And there's one in the spring that's usually there. So it's a good reminder. But as Lorraine pointed out, well, we want people to think about it all throughout the year.
Right, right. And especially, well, I don't know, now with the change of season, that's a good time to think about it, with kids going back to school. You know, I think of these kind of seasonal things that periodically could trigger us to remind us to dispose of them properly as well, is just get into the habit of, when you're finished with them, get rid of them, don't store them.
And the good thing is, Mark, you know, 2 years ago when I came in here on your program, we talked about this, and there were very few pharmacies that were actually collecting back medications. And now in the state, there's a lot of pharmacies that have continuous take-back. And, you know, law enforcement have done a great job. So at police stations and law enforcement locations, there's a number of these continuous take-back locations. They do host the twice a year for the DEA. But, you know, we get medications from pharmacists, from pharmacies, and it seems logical to walk back in there and take their medications back to the pharmacy to properly dispose of them. Unfortunately, a lot of pharmacies prior to about this past year just didn't have the they weren't in the regulatory process to accept back those medications. And now a lot of them have done that.
Well, and for a time, you needed a law change. Was there not a restriction that stood in the way of just taking back anything anytime?
Yeah. And up and through 2014, the fall of 2014, pharmacies were not allowed to accept any controlled substances back from patients. So by law, they couldn't accept those back.
Even if they never actually touched them, they went right to the drug take-back type situations. For the pharmacist, that was a dilemma. But that law changed, and pharmacists were eager to get on board for the most part?
Sure. Yeah, they were. Pharmacists are looking to, you know, at the public health issues with opioid crisis and, you know, wanting to do whatever they can to get those medications disposed of properly.
I think it was just one of those added things that they had to do, though. So it took a little bit of time for pharmacies and pharmacists to put this on their agenda of things that they had to do, and it's costly. They have to pay a reverse distributor to take those medications and then properly dispose of them. So, you know, took a little bit of that understanding that you know, bringing in people to dispose of these medications costs a little bit of money for them to take care of.
And how many pharmacists, how many Wise Markets? Wise has really been on the forefront of this. How many take-back locations are you overseeing?
So we have 38 take-back locations presently. We are adding a few more, and we'll be adding some more in the fall. There are, I think there's 15 Wise Markets. They're throughout this listening area. You know, Milton, Lewisburg, Sunbury, Mifflinburg, Salem's Grove, Cole Township, and of course Danville. We're at the main campus, and Woodbine as well, and all Geisinger hospitals and pharmacies have a med take back site.
All right. We talk about also some of the private pharmacies around here also are involved. I don't want to name one because I'm going to maybe name the wrong one. But, you know, we think of like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, for example, would be the type of pharmacy that have been involved, and I believe they do get involved. And also there are other There's private entities that will run a take-back box with that. So, you know, there could be a private vendor goes there, isn't associated with Geisinger specifically. He goes into the pharmacy, says, I'll put the box here. You pay me X dollars a month, and we'll take good care of this. And, you know, they make a buck from that. So there's other take-back places. I know Northumberland Police Department has a drug take-back box, and it isn't associated with the Geisinger program. It's associated with this other goods vendor, plus a sponsor, I think, is involved in that. So, all right, we're going to continue this conversation. Our overall conversation topic is the Medication Take-Back Coalition that's based out of Geisinger, but involves a wide range of individuals, commercial entities, Wise Markets, Fish and Boat Commissions involved in this, and others are associated with this. So we're going to keep talking to them. Some of the universities got involved as well to help there. And so we're going to keep talking about that. We're going to define what is the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes. I got to find out what these guys do all day when they're not talking about drug take-back. There must be something. So there's got to be a lot to it. Eric Wright is here, the director of the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes at Geisinger, and Lorraine Tusing is research project manager at Geisinger Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes Research.
News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us in WKOK Sunrise. We're right in the middle of an interview with folks who are representing, working with, and part of, and helping to coordinate the Medication Take Back Coalition that operates out of Geisinger. That's about two dozen individuals who, from various entities, hospitals, doctors, physicians, Fish and Boat Commission, we mentioned there, involved, and making sure that the proper disposal of medications take place. So our guests today are Eric Wright. He's the director of the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes, and Lorraine Tusing is here. She's a research project manager with that center. Redefining briefly, I'm going to make Lorraine participate in the definition of the coalition itself, gathered around the table. I'm going to try to do it, and you tell me if you think I have it right, that this coalition is a group of individuals that are associated with pharmacies. I'm there just as to help with the outreach and to make sure that this gets brought up on the radio, but that all the other individuals are stakeholders in this. Pharmacists, individuals associated with the center, Fish and Boat Commission, they're concerned about prescription drugs making it into the water. Who else is at the table?
So we have individuals from various universities. We have individuals from various universities in the area are represented.
Lou Ann Tom from Susquehanna.
Yes, Lou Ann Tom
right
from Susquehanna.
So.
Yes, sorry. And also, I just went blank. The Susquehanna Riverkeeper is a member as well. So we have people both on the environmental side, the United Way, and some other like civic organizations that are interested in public health and how to, you know, we often share like what various programs are doing so we can complement each other in those kinds of efforts.
So we start out with what the patient wants or needs from a physician or a doctor, what the patient wants or needs from a pharmacist, what that pharmacist does, what the patient does, and then what they do with that prescription afterward. All of that is kind of our timeline.
Yes.
How do we do?
That's a pretty good timeline.
Okay, good.
We should write that up, make sure that it's out there on all the billboards.
Well, if you ever were to develop a mission statement, put that in it. Okay, how about that, Eric? Well, we talked about this. The coalition doesn't have a mission statement. You know, Skip Weider and others pulled the coalition together to make sure that this was brought up and talked about, because you knew that all these stakeholders cared deeply about this, but they weren't all at the same table.
Yeah, and we've been meeting quarterly to talk about these things for years. So, you know, it makes sense that we're organizing together and we're, you know, consolidated on what we want to do. There's a lot of research involved. There's a lot of outreach involved, advocacy. And we believe that we're making a large impact on the environment and on public health. So there's quite a lot going on in this space. And, you know, having a consolidated group with a mission and vision is probably the next step, Mark. What do you think?
Well, I'm fine. I'm good at that, too. I like doing that. if it's a simple task, I can handle
Great.
It. So, and the idea has worked. We know literally pounds, tons
right.
of medications haven't made their way into the environment or into the wrong hands.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we had a caller basically write in saying, you know, it's a pain to bring those medications back to the pharmacy, take them out of the bottles and put them into these continuous takebacks. And to be clear, if you take your medications back to a pharmacy, you can leave them in the original containers.
Nowadays,
yeah, absolutely.
There may have
been
some places sometimes they didn't want the bottles, but now that you stick the whole thing in.
Yep, it's a full bottle that you give. If you have a continuous box that you go to a pharmacy and you open the top lid and you dump those medications in there, everything that goes into the contents there is boxed up, and it's not inventoried. You cannot go in those boxes. It's sealed up, and it is taken to a centralized location where it's thermally destroyed. So there's no finding out of your name, anything. The bottles are original, and all of that will be properly disposed of in an environmentally safe way.
And the bottle is considered as disposable and destroyable ASAP
right. yeah.
as the medications themselves.
Yeah,
so
right.
everything kind of goes into that. Do you concur as the individual that makes sure that these boxes get out there?
Yes, absolutely. There's, and you don't have to be a customer of that particular location. If it's in whether it's a Wise Markets or a Geisinger hospital or pharmacy, you know, it's open to the public for anybody to use. There's no questions asked. There's no forms to fill out. They do ask that liquids be in original containers and sealed tight, you know,
but
put the lid on tight.
But they can accept liquids.
Yes, we accept
great.
Liquids, ointments, you know, pills, over-the-counter medications as well as prescription
no
medications, no sharps,
yeah.
pet medications.
So it would be safe to say that as time progresses here, we've come a long way. You know, I think we did our first medication take-back stories about 12 years ago, and that was that when there was going to be a one-time collection at one location at that. And I remember the National Guard had an incinerator, too, they used to bring around. So that's, I'm not aware that that's still making the rounds, but it certainly did exist. And so that's where they were. And each year, everything all about this has changed and changed and changed. And we're talking about the very latest here. Well, we talk about the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes Research.
Right.
Eric, what's your excuse? Go
well,
right ahead.
Yeah, and I've been at Geisinger since 2015 full-time, Mark, and I'm underneath Geisinger Research. And Geisinger Research has a very robust agenda, a lot of people in that group, and very proud to be a part of that. And we've partnered with pharmacy to address some of the major problems around medication use. I don't know if your listeners recognize this, but medications could be very helpful for health-related conditions, but they can also be very harmful. And so what we do in our center is identify where medications could be helpful and where it could be more helpful and how we could do a better job doing that and where we can actually eliminate where there's potential harmfulness. So for example, people who are in the hospital, oftentimes when they leave the hospital, get a lot of new medications, and it's really hard for them to organize those. They have to get their medications filled. There might be co-payments associated with that. They have to get to the pharmacy, and then they have to learn how to take that into a new schedule. We have a lot of healthcare professionals who are part of that discharge process, but one of those are the pharmacy teams. Not only the ones in the hospital, which do a lot of work, but also those in the community. So whether that's a pharmacist at a community pharmacy or at Geisinger, we have a large number of pharmacists who are co-embedded with physicians at our clinics, helping to manage patients' drug therapy. So pharmacists actually aren't just the ones who are behind the counter, although they do a lot more, and they are connected with our teams a lot better, but they're also the ones within the clinics.
And now they're working on the coalition to make sure that this gets talked about through the whole process, through the disposal, through the take-back processes and guidance and the disposal.
Yeah, our community pharmacies, one of the ways we connected with Wise and some of the other pharmacies was through this Transitions of Care project that Lorraine and I worked on with a number of pharmacists and other stakeholders, where we were kind of transmitting that information about why a person was in the hospital out to the community pharmacists. A lot of times, times these hospitalizations are preventable. And a lot of times people who leave the hospitals come back in the hospitals for preventable reasons. And the most common reason for that rehospitalization ends up being a medication-related issue. They didn't pick up their prescription. They didn't know how to take it. They're having some side effects and they didn't talk to their doctor. And really connecting that pharmacist with what happened in the hospital helps to reassure what that medication looks like. And we actually completed that study and we found that those who had those touch points with the community pharmacist were much less likely to end up back in the hospital than the ones who didn't have the touch points with the pharmacist. And we actually saved the healthcare system a lot of money. For every dollar they put in, over $8 was actually saved by our healthcare system.
And you have contact with some of these pharmacists, so you hear the story of how they are helping and how they are very interested in being part of the healthcare providing system.
Yes, yes. I was part of that program, that project that we did with, as Eric mentioned, you know, connecting the hospitals with the pharmacists.
So we find, you know, pharmacists aren't just the ones dispensing the drugs. They're not just the ones collecting back the drugs now with the take-backs, but they're also the ones that are caring for them. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where it was unheard of to get immunizations other than at your doctor's office. And nowadays, it's almost like if it's flu season, you're going to your local pharmacy to get your flu vaccination. So it's a very common thing for pharmacists to provide immunizations. It's now much more common for them to start managing medications, including conditions. So like I said, we have over 70 pharmacists co-embedded with our physicians and our care teams in our clinics that are managing chronic conditions like diabetes, pain management, anticoagulation.
It was a little bit of a game changer for me the first time I got my flu shot at Wise Markets in Seals Grove, but I did it.
Yeah.
You know, they came out and she knew what she was doing, and so we got that done. Insurance paid for it, as it always
did.
Way
to go, Mark.
So, yeah, thank you. So, yeah, I did it. Okay, I'm changing a little bit. Okay, last topic. We've got about a minute left. A lot of this information is data-driven,
yeah.
And Geisinger loves facts and figures and numbers and data.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to really know where you want to focus your attention on unless you have good information. And one of the nice things about Geisinger is that we have really good information. We have a detailed electronic health record that backs up that we can look at information on. We have a health plan that's connected with our electronic health system as well, by which we can look at people who are admitted to hospitals, how often they're admitted to hospitals, what kind of medications they're taking, and what's actually causing help versus what's not, and where we can actually improve. So that data helps to drive a lot of the work that we do, and our center, and the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes, helps to kind of mine that information and then feed that back into the healthcare system.
All right, and find out what your trends and what your outcomes are. Find out what's really helping and what is not. Well, to be continued, honestly, we've just scratched the surface, so please come again regularly. I think we can keep exploring this topic. I think there's so much more to say about not only the Medication Take Back Coalition, but the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes. The key is outcomes. Saving money was a wonderful bonus when you made sure that people, the patients, like, well, skip the money. I didn't have to go back.
Yeah, right.
I was the happy recipient there. You guys can save all the money you want, but I don't want to be revisiting. So we're going to keep talking about this in the future. Eric Wright, Director of the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes. Lorraine Tusing is here, a Research Project Manager at Geisinger's Center for Pharmacy Innovations and Outcomes, Geisinger's Medication Take Back Coalition that has a wide range of individuals on it from within and without the Geisinger system, our topic. Thank you both so much for coming in.
And thanks for having us.
Thank you.